Good morning. How's everybody this morning?
We're good.
Good, good. I'm Shannon Rowe, and I'm thrilled to moderate this session because I've known Johnny Day for a long time. We're going to go ahead and start with the conference prayer, and then I'll introduce our speaker. So pull out your program guide or it's in your app, and we'll go ahead and start with the prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Loving and gracious God, we ask you to open our hearts to your Son's life and ministry and to answer the call to be his disciples. May our response be rooted in the gospel. May we be ever mindful of the needs of our communities. And may our stewardship flow from a profound sense of gratitude for your many blessings. By the gift of the Holy Spirit, empower and inspire us to respond in a way that brings hope to others and reveals the love that comes to us through Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name, who is Lord forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. Okay, so we are in the pre-campaign planning to completion of a parish school campaign session. And our speaker today is Johnny Day from Greater Mission. I've known Johnny for a long time. He is the Senior Vice President and Chief Operating Officer for Greater Mission. Johnny has over 35 years experience in this industry as a fundraiser, planner, and strategist. He is, there you go, done that so good. If you want to get, it would take us half of the session if I was to read his old bio, so y'all can go look it up on your app. But I will say, he is from Tennessee. He really wanted us to start with Rocky Top. So wake everybody up with Rocky Top. There you go. He is also an ICSC board member. He represents our vendors on the ICSC board. So very committed to ICSC, and we're so thankful for your partnership and your sponsorship. And most importantly, Johnny is a new granddaddy.
Yeah. Oh.
So there you go. And with that, Johnny, here you go.
Actually, most of the slides today are going to be of Charlotte. So just roll with that with me if you don't mind.
She is beautiful.
She has more hair than I do. She's 2 months old. Actually, she was born and had more hair than I do. So she's a blessing. It's and she is a blessing. You started this. It's your fault that you got me off topic. Because my daughter couldn't have children. And we spent the last 8 years in prayer, and everybody we know, we've been asking for prayer, and God is good. It's in God's time. So I'm going to introduce Dave Wyrick. Dave and I partnered in the Diocese of Biloxi, and I'm going to let Dave start by kind of telling you where we got to and how we're here, and then I'll come back and give you some tips of the trade. I really want you to just take one or two things away. It's very practical, things that you probably know and just, oh, yeah. And so, but feel free to ask some questions. So, Dave?
Thank you very much, Johnny. Let me give you a little background about the diocese first. So the Diocese of Biloxi is just an hour east of here. We're a small mission diocese sandwiched between two great big huge archdioceses, which is New Orleans and Mobile. And we have a higher concentration of Catholics in the state of Mississippi than the rest of the state. But that's not saying a lot. It's still a very small percentage of the state. We are small, we are broke, and we have a one-man shop that does anything. Does anybody here do more than one job at their church? Okay, good. Good. We're speaking to the crowd. So last year, I had a large number of people come to me and say, Dave, we want to raise some money. Dave, we want to raise some money. And I've known Johnny for a few years. A couple of things. If you don't know Johnny, get to know him. He throws a wicked good party when you come to these things. You want to get on that invite list if you can. And the second thing is he's incredibly knowledgeable. He's incredibly helpful. And I've learned a lot from him and what I do. So here's how this came about. I had probably seven pastors in a handful of schools that were trying to do something. And they were trying to raise money, some a little, some a lot. What Johnny offered was, Dave, why don't we do this in one big scoop? I'll come to your diocese, you plan a day, and I'll just give them the entire scoop of what they need to do. The biggest mistake that I think a lot of people make when they're trying to do a capital campaign is they neglect the very basic details of what it takes to plan for it. You just don't jump in and start sending envelopes to people. There's some research that has to be done. There's some planning that has to be done. I am a big fan. If you're going to try to raise a lot of money, bring on a partner that has the ability to handle that kind of weight. I have yet to see a parish or a school that has the manpower or the time to run a capital campaign and do it well. It's just a daunting task to do. So Johnny came down, and we had probably 2 hours of time together. We had seven pastors. We had a handful of educators, administrators, probably a total of 40 people. Johnny did everything. He went over this presentation. He answered tons of questions. We were scheduled for an hour and a half. We probably went 2.5 hours just because of the questions that people had after that. And so it was a great service to me. It was a great service to the people that were there, and it gives them some insight. And here's the really great part. Nobody was asked to sign a contract that day. Nobody was pressured to do anything. It's just what Johnny does. He just wants to help. So this is what you're going to see today, and I hope you enjoy it.
I invited Dave to the party, but he didn't show. He sent people who then text him and sent pictures. Oh, you blew this one. So let's talk about pre-planning. Let's, feel free to ask questions along as we travel along this road. Our church is only as strong as our parishes and schools who are effectively attracting, engaging, serving, and mobilizing the people of God for their mission. Far too many churches are drifting or declining. And if you think about the biggest thing, a lot of our largest contributors are over the age of 80. We did a research project for the Diocese of Springfield, Mass., and Bishop just about had a heart attack when he realized that 85% of his appeal donors are over the age of 80. That's enough to make you nervous. So, you know, I don't know that, but I will say this. Every diocese we work in, that's becoming the trend. It's becoming the trend. And of course, the growing church is proactively planned. They're on top of that. So let's talk a little bit about some key takeaways. Let's talk about time. So if you're thinking about a campaign, what you should be doing, the pastors or principals or presidents, you know, role in the campaign. Hey, is it going to hurt my offertory or my annual appeal? What's it cost? And then we'll just cover a whole slew of other things. We're really going to focus on pre-planning and the study. Now, this slide deck has the campaign and the continuation plan. As Dave says, they didn't give me enough time. Unless you just want to stay through the next session, we'll just keep it rocking. But I'll send the whole slide deck to you. You'll have my card and contact information. So if you get into it and you review it and you have a question about it, just reach out. Just reach out. So the processes for our firm, every firm's a little different, and there are a lot of really good firms downstairs. So if you haven't gone through the hall, I can give you a list. Everybody in here is a great firm. And your diocese will have a list, a vetted list of approved vendors. This will come up, but I'll say, go to your director like Dave or Shannon or Amy and just say, who should I use? You know, don't go kind of out on your own. There should be a list. It could be like Charlotte, and y'all kind of manage most everything in-house. So they've got experienced folks in-house that handle Charlotte. So there's a handful of dioceses that do that. All right, so let's get started. The number one thing I run into when I'm starting a campaign is the roster, and it's usually garbage. Okay? And I say that with all the love and respect for everybody. But take time, if you haven't done this and you're thinking about a campaign, clean up your roster. It doesn't take that much effort. There is nothing worse than Miss Sadie walking up to Father and Miss Sadie saying, you know, Bill died 5 years ago, and he's on the card with me. Now, that just broke Miss Sadie's heart, and now she's mourning all over again. And it just made Father feel really bad, look bad, because we didn't take time to clean that roster up. And then he looks at me, why did that happen? I'm like, is that what your parish staff gave me? Because I can't clean it up. You know, whoever's running your campaign can't clean it up. We have to trust you. You know, we'll help you through the process. But that's something, so it's garbage in, garbage out. So clean your roster. update all the names. Divorce families, deaths, people move in, people aren't registered. Get as many of those names corrected, phone numbers, emails that you can on that roster. That's number one step. So here's some things I've suggested. QR code with a new family information sheet. They're easy to create. And for a series of 2 or 3 weeks, some parishes, you know, at Mass have the screens. You can put the QR code up. And Father earlier said, let's take a minute. Take your phone out. Take a picture of this and help our staff clean up our rosters. Let us capture your information. There's a parish in Kentucky we worked with in Frankfort, a Good Shepherd. They stood out in the narthex with those sheets. Will you please stop and fill this out? And they did it for like 1 month. And it really does help. Have some lay leaders come in. Email. If you have Flocknote, I don't know if you guys use Flocknote. Great way to communicate. They're also downstairs. You know, Flocknote your families. Hey, clean this up. You know, so it's a process. So if you got emails, you got phone numbers, have lay leaders come in, send out emails, let them call. Don't let nobody out of the parking lot till they fill it out. Have security blocking the exit. You know, whatever you have to do, but that's some of the things I've seen done. And I'll say this too. How many have a large Hispanic population? Don't swallow the excuse that they won't register, because they will if they're asked. We just did a campaign in Lexington, Kentucky, where our Hispanic families gave over $500,000 in pledges, because Father took the time to explain the process. And he picked up 78 new families that had been coming that just hadn't registered. They'll register if you just take time to ask. So anyway, people die, divorce, and it should happen. Once you get it cleaned up, do it on a regular basis. Have somebody on the staff that's just assigned to check. You know, to really, as people come in and fill out their forms, just make sure it gets updated on a regular basis. Duplicates are evil. Some of the systems, if Dave makes a gift, they capture that information. But he's married to Amy, and Amy makes a gift, and now there's two records for that family. For whatever reason, the system won't let them be married. Get the married couples together. You know, you don't need multiple family tabs, okay? So, too many times, a campaign is a knee-jerk reaction. Oh, no, the boiler just blew up. We've got to have a boiler. Plan for things. Have a properties team that walks either your school or your parish. Have a vision. Have a list. Prepare. Have a group of people. Have your master plan available. Now, there's no right or wrong master plan, but have a plan. How many have walked through their school or walked through their parish with a yellow pad and a group of people talking about the vision of the parish? How old are your HVAC units? When was the last time there was carpet put in? When was the last time the walls were painted? Think, you don't have to think something mammoth. Oh, we've got to build a new hall. Well, that may be the project, but there's 1,000 other things in the parish or in the school that need to be in that vision and in that plan. So have priorities so that the finance council can look at it, know about it, tell everybody about it. So it's an ongoing process of planning. So when it's time for that capital campaign, we're not having to replace a roof that should have been replaced how many years ago? Too long. Okay? Survey your parish. Survey your school families. Get a consensus. Let them know. People will tell you what they see. And sometimes, sadly enough, those most active in the parish, what's the old saying? Can't see the forest for the trees? Because they see it all the time. They've got used to it. But an outside perspective, maybe a new family, they'll see it. Oh, Why does that look like that? But we've just gotten used to it. Our senses are dull to it. My favorite saying, my first boss told me this 30 some odd years ago. Santa Claus comes once a year. If you've got a campaign coming, test it. Test it all. Because families will tell someone like me, a consultant, when you do your study, what's on their mind. They'll never tell Father that. They'll say things to me they would never say to Father. And they'll give ideas to the consultant they would never say to Father. So the nice thing is you can test anything under the sun in a study. And your families will tell you what's on their mind. And they'll help you determine what's most important to them. So if you have this master plan that you've put together and you put 7 or 8 items on there, knowing that we probably can only do 2, there's not one thing wrong with that. That's what the study is for. You may have your pet project and you really want to do this, but your families really want to do these and they're going to fund these. So be open to it. Be open to it. Don't shove it down someone's throat just because there was poor planning to start with. Take your time. Make your plan. Communicate. Get everybody on the train. So, questions thus far? Dave? And just create that vision. Just have a team that helps you, you know, helps that pastor cast that vision and really think long term. Think long term. If you're at a parish school or even a regional school or diocesan school, think long term. Don't think 2 years out. Man, like Dave, that parish, they're thinking 30 years out. Think long term. You had a question?
I do. It's, so my parish, I'm with the diocese, but my parish, the previous priest who moved last year, he created a plan. He wanted to renovate the church. He wanted to expand the church. They have spent tens of thousands of dollars on the architectural plans. A committee knows about this. They haven't told the parish as a whole. The new priest comes in. He's reviving it, and they still haven't told the parish, yet they want to launch this multi-million dollar campaign. And my fear is, when they come out, the parishioners as a whole will be like, we don't need to do that. And so I don't know what's the balance of getting a priest vision versus...
So that's the other secret, is having that unity. So Father's going to have a vision, but by having this properties team working with Father, and you have a member of the parish council, and you have a member of the finance council, you have, and there's a, we'll talk about it a little bit, town halls, community buy-in at, here in, on this slide. Once you kind of capture this plan and this vision, share it. Share it. So one of the parishes I worked with, probably a year in front of the actual feasibility study, hosted small group dinners, which are very common in capital campaigns, but what they did was host small group dinners, and Father and the chair stood up, and here's our plan and here's what we're thinking about. Would you tell us what you're thinking? And so they knew, going into the study, kind of where their families were. And the families knew about it. Okay? Now, of course, you're not capturing all 1,600 families, but I would say, I think they told me over 400 families attended those dinners. You know, everybody was invited. Not everybody comes. We know that process, but they gave everybody the opportunity to come. And so they started at least with a quarter of their parish all in and understanding.
We did surveys, but this was years ago. We've gone through several different pastors. So now we're getting ready to launch the campaign, but I feel like all that information was several years ago. Even though we communicated it back then, we haven't talked about it in years. So do we start talking about it again?
I would. If you've got a campaign coming around the corner, you need to communicate it. Families need to know. Even, you know, say at announcements at Mass, Father could take one point a Sunday and start talking about it. Or have some lay leaders stand up at announcements and start talking about it. Hey, just want you to know, here's what we're thinking. We just want to communicate. Send a flock note out from the buildings team. Hey, conversations are going on. We just want everybody to be aware. If you've got questions, hey, just send an email to the office. It'll get to us. You know, just start giving people little tidbits of information along the way makes a huge difference in harmony and community. So have you reviewed the cost of your campaign? So many people we start with, well, we don't know. What's it going to cost? I don't know. So take time, do your homework, do your legwork, and figure out a good, it doesn't have to be to the penny, but there are a lot of, you know, architectural firms or estimators that can give you a good idea about what it's going to cost. Does your project require experts? So does it require an architect? Does it require engineering? Get the experts on board. Make sure what you're planning is actually going to work. If it is HVAC, something simple, get two or three bids, you know, whatever the requirement of that diocese is. Okay? Get your, you know the facts before you take it to your families. Do you have diocesan approval? Every diocese has some type, I shouldn't say that. Every diocese should have some type of approval process. Okay? They don't all, I guess, but they should. So make sure that Father has sat down with Bishop. Hey, Bishop, hey, this is what I'm thinking about. Is this okay? There may be a whole different approval process. Y'all have an approval process? You have an approval? Dave has a, no. Everybody's got some type of approval process. Dave, I'm sure you guys do too, right? I bet so. You know, have the councils, you know, your parish council had a chance to, you know, provide some feedback. You know, it can't be Father's idea. It can't be Miss Sally's idea. It can't be Joe that's been there since 40 years' idea. You're a parish community. And community will raise the monies and support the project, not one person. But if you have that one person, let me know their name. Because I've got plenty of projects they could help me fund, right? Community. And that's the secret. Let's talk about community. Town halls, community buy-in. Don't keep it a secret. We've talked about, don't keep it a secret. It's going to take everybody. Robert Watts's annual appeal is One in Christ. One of the parishes I just finished was Together in Christ. It's all about togetherness, community. We're doing it together. So share the information. So, so critical. Share the information. Yes, sir, Dave.
About sharing information. I've worked with parishes on capital campaigns, and a lot of them are asking, you know, do you go public phase right away? Like they go out and they announce, we're doing a big capital campaign, but now we need to do major gifts, or should you do your major gifts in a quiet phase first?
You know, I think it's fine to announce because I announce the process. Hey, we're going to start with some individual families. Everybody's going to have an opportunity. Just wait your turn. We're coming to see you begin to discern and pray about how your family can participate in the campaign. And we can't ask everybody at one time, but we're coming to see you. And that way you can do your quiet phase. I think quiet phases do not belong in church campaigns. I think quiet phases belong in scout campaigns, Red Cross campaigns, the YMCA campaigns, not church campaigns. So, use your approved diocesan list. So folks like Dave and Amy and Shannon, Dave, they'll have a list. You know, Dave and them do it themselves, but they've got to know about it. They'll have a list of vendors. They'll give you one, two, three. Each diocese may have a required number of vendors that you have to vet. You know, some have three. Some have six. I think that's crazy, but that's just me. But they've vetted it Owen, I'm sure you guys have a list. Yeah. Use the list. These guys here, they've vetted these folks. They know them. They've taken time to understand their processes. Trust them. Trust the diocesan office to give you the right folks to work with you. So, I say vet at least two. Never just interview one and go with them. Vet at least two. Usually a lot, most ICs would have the vet of three. There's no reason to interview six and seven firms. I will also say this. I did do an interview earlier this year where, it was a 2-day interview. That's over the top. Don't go crazy. I mean, it was a 2-day interview for a parish campaign. That's a lot of information that I could have said in 2 hours. So, trust your diocese. They know the firms. If you choose local, make sure they have a broad experience within the church and understand the inner workings of a parish or a school. Some folks want to use a local firm. They're local. Nothing wrong with that. But if they're local and they've only done dog campaigns and Y campaigns, do they really understand the workings of the church or the school? If they've never done a parish school campaign, are they the right choice? Find a consulting partner that has the experience that you're looking for, not just because they're close. Also, don't let price drive it. I'll say this with all the gentleness in my heart. Don't be so cheap that you don't get the right the partner. You know, Dave said that it's about a partner. Find the right partner. And if they're $2,000 more than this firm, it's okay. You're going to make it up in the campaign. So, you know, find the right partner. That's so critical. As I just said that, gee, I got ahead of myself. So cost, a study should range between $15,000 and $25,000, typically. Might find some lower, might find some higher. Depends on what you're doing, how large the school is. You know, you talked about you were the largest parish in Nashville. Y'all might have, I don't know, how many families y'all have? 3,000. All right, so there are some parishes out, somebody just told me about a parish of 10,000. Well, a 10,000 family parish, it may be a little more than that because it's a 10,000 family parish. That's a lot of work. So, but that's typical. A campaign costs somewhere between $10,000 and $30,000, depending on the service you're looking for. If you want that partner there every day doing all the ask, really in the weeds, it's going to be more expensive. If they're, what we do is about 8 to 10 days a month. We know that Father's got a job to do. He don't want me in his way every day saying, Father, let's go do this now. So we don't do that. You know, we're there about 8 to 10 days a month. So we're closer to the bottom number. It's the fit. It's the fit, but that's typical. So at least when you see, you know, some people panic when they see that number. Well, it should be in those ranges. Should be in those ranges. If you find one lower, hey, thumbs up. Full-time versus part-time, we talked about. Some firms only do full-time. You're going to get one consultant. He's going to be there every day of the week. And he's there. I will tell you, I've worked for that firm, and I've worked for that part-time firm. I played a lot of solitaire. I did a lot of things on, you know, because there just wasn't stuff to keep me busy Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, on a capital campaign. So think about it. There's nothing wrong with it. It's not. I've lived in both models. And I really felt like I was cheating someone being there Monday through Friday. I think the fee for that firm was $25,000. They never negotiated. It was just $25,000. And I really thinking, man, I feel bad. You know, I would hide so the director wouldn't. And it was an outside firm, not a church firm. And I'm like, man, I'm not doing anything because it's a process and you can't get in front of the process. So this. Think about that. Who'll staff it? Experience or inexperience? So firms like ours, you get a bunch of gray-haired, long-toothed, been around for 30 years. there's other firms that you get the young kid right out of college that can't spell campaign yet. But they have to learn. You know, they have to learn. And I've seen a lot of great young campaign directors. I've trained a lot of great young campaign directors. But what are you looking for? Do you want the long in the tooth that's seen everything? Or do you want the young, energized, fired up, never runs out of energy campaign director? And that's just a fit. You know, that's one of those. You just have to think about it. What are you looking for? Do they have a good mentor? That's the other thing. If you get one of those young, fired up guys or gals, do they have a mentor that's coaching them along the way? Because if they do, you're probably in pretty good shape. All right, any other questions on just the pre-planning process before we get into the study? All right.
Oh, wait.
So with me, I learned that in the study. Did they do a study? Yeah, so in the study, those deep pockets, I'm asking that question. So, cause I'm interviewing the deep pockets. And so I'm not, you know, so if the Canfields are a $1 million prospect and I show that plan of gifts to the Canfields and they're saying, we're down here in the middle, then I know I got an issue. Oh yeah, we're with Father. We're up here. Then I know I got an answer. And that's how I solve that issue. So studies, and we'll talk about them. Man, they're so critical. They paint the picture. They give Father and the councils the information they need to go forward. So the research, and we'll talk about the research. Research is so critical because I will promise you people hide. But it's a test to check the relevance of your campaign. In the back.
At the beginning, we do a search for major donors. So we did that. So we're going to end next year. So should we look for major donors again, or should we just continue with the second one?
All right, so he's questioned. So they started a campaign 4 years ago. They looked for major donors at the beginning, and they carried on. And now do you go back and look for additional major donors? And I would. The question I would have for anyone is a 4-year capital campaign, is that pledging for five, or is that you finish the, and you're just doing redemption now?
We are building a new church.
Uh-huh.
And, so we're just
gonna continue. Okay, I got you. I got you. So I would have probably done that in a couple phases and a couple different campaigns than instead of ongoing and ongoing, because that does create donor fatigue. I would go back at this point. I would relook at my roster. So get the parish staff to help who's moved in since that time. That's part of the continuation process too that we'll talk, we may not get to, but when the campaign finishes, most campaigns are going to be 4 to 7, 8 months in the actual active phase. But the part of the continuation plan is to then visit twice a year, or at least annually, with all the new families. Do the research on those new families that are coming in. Talk about the campaign. Get their buy-in. If you're doing a school campaign, that kindergarten class that's coming in, introduce the parents to it. Let them know what's going on. If they don't already have children in the school and hadn't heard the spiel, then they get a chance to buy in. So you want to always continue. When you finish the active phase, doesn't mean the campaign's over. There's always opportunity to introduce the campaign. At least you're introducing, supporting, and investing in the parish or the school. Remember, it should inform, inspire, engage to build ownership from your families, alumni, and key leaders. You're informing them of the case, and you're inspiring them to get involved. you're wanting to raise their sights of expectations. When we do the research and we know Dave has capacity of 50 to 100,000, I want to make sure Dave knows he has capacity of 50 to 100,000 in his heart. I want to really get him excited about the vision in that study. I want him to be prepared to make an investment, a commitment to the campaign for 50 to 100,000. The campaign we just finished was for debt in Kentucky, $2.5 million, and a new chapel for $1 million. One of the things I test when I do a campaign is how close am I to their ratings. We don't do one number. We don't say, would you, prayerfully consider a gift of $50,000. I would say, would you prayerfully consider a gift between $50,000 and $100,000? So I'm giving a family a range to pray about, not a number. I want you in the range. How many families do I get? How many of my leadership major gift prospects do I get in the range? All right. 85% of that campaign were in the range. So that tells me the research that we're doing is working, or our inspiring conversations are working. You know, we're really getting to discern and to pray about it. So if I can get 85% of my major gifts in the range I've, you know, want them to be, guess what? You're going to be successful. So that parish who's had that debt over 10 years, actually it's 20 years, is retired now. You know, they've raised enough money to finally get out of debt. So now guess what they can do? More ministry. More ministry. It should help build your foundation because you know where the money is now. You know that you've identified campaign leadership. You know what that leadership gift potential is. And you have created an overall expected, campaign support system that you can now use. You know, your leadership, we've identified the campaign cabinet through the study. And we've, in their ear, said, oh, you'd be awesome to do this. So now they'll go think about it. They'll pray about it. So when Father comes back to them, hey, I got a job for you. I really need some help. Okay, Father, I knew it was coming. So, all studies should start with a capacity analysis. If you're talking with a firm that can't do research, donor research, wealth engine, donor search, find another company. Trust me, you need this information. It sets the tone for the whole thing. If you don't know what the capacity of your families are, you've missed the boat. So you have to understand where your families are. I just had a parish talk to me. It was a school, actually. School in Bristol, Virginia. And they're wanting to raise $1 million. We did the research. The research tested out at $3.2 million. The national average on giving is 35%. I subtracted 65%. It put them at 1.2 million. So, we still got to do the study, but what I'm finding, I'm pretty close. So I can say, Father, it's a good test now. I think we could test to see if you could really get to your million, but I feel confident that you've got the capacity in the school to get there. So, but that's a secret tool that I use that y'all didn't really hear and don't use it. So create a plan of gifts based on families, based on the need, based on the capacity, so that you can use that plan of gifts to set the tone and lift up families so they understand where they need to be. Don't let a $50,000 day family get off with a $3,000 investment. I mean, you've got to raise them up. We said that. It's a red flag if they don't use a national company. It's so critical. Man, and do it, I mean, for other diocesan, man, do it for your appeals. Do it for everything. You should have a capacity rating on every one of your donors. You just need to know where they are, so you need to know where you need to lead them. Dave?
Now, you said... So you mentioned earlier that you recommend doing a range. So when you're doing, or when you ask for a gift, do a range. You know, you said 50 to 100,000, depending on the person. How do you base that off of your capacity rating? So if my capacity says 50, do you go 50 to 100? Do you go 25 to 50? What do you recommend?
So our partner, Donor Search, comes back with those ranges. Then we have some secret coded Batcave algorithms that we use that define it even more. And then so sometimes we're a little higher, sometimes we're a little lower, but we're generally in the neighborhood with a range. There are very smart, wealthy families that hide their money. So, you know, Donor Search, Wealth Engine, they can only grab public information. So we also sit down and try to grab as much local, we call it local intel, as we can grab to help, you know, drive that number too. So, but that's what I do. But I love the range, guys. Instead of a number, I have found families appreciate a range. So it's not as much pressure. I really, you know, prayerfully consider $100,000. Oh, I can't do that. But that's the only number now that they hear.
Do you find that they go towards the higher end? If you give them a range, in other words, instead of you ask for 25, they might, you ask for 25 to 50, and they'll give you 4.
What I find is I build my campaign on the low end. And so I would say 65, 70% do the low gift. 25, 30% do the high gift. So I'm where I need to be anyway because I'm building it on the low side. So, and just really take time with the firm to analyze the results. Understand what you're understanding. You know, read. Know what you're looking at. They'll help you do that. So then once you get that back, decide, do I have a relationship with those donors? So every parish, for some reason, has that $1 million donor that nobody knows. Well, who is he? Who are these people? Father's like, I ain't never heard of them. You know, guess what? They're not a $1 million prospect. If Father doesn't know them, if they're not involved, if they're not in the choir, if they're not on a Eucharistic minister, if they're not on the hat committee making hats for the cancer patients, if they're not involved in your parish, you know, they just showed up maybe at Christmas or Easter, they're really not engaged. But you know what? They're $1 million prospect. Father, we need to go make a visit. We need to get to know these people. We need to spend some time with these people. And that's important. So it's all about relationships. Anybody ever heard that before? So who should reach out first? You know, it's important. If it's a school, man, I would bring these folks in. I would have a tour. I would let them see what these kids are doing. I worked for the Scouts for 20 years. We had a saying, let them smell the smoke. If you were a Boy Scout, what do you remember? Sitting around the campfire. All right, let them smell the smoke. Get them in that school. Let them watch the art class. Let them see the science lab. Let them have lunch with those crazy little third graders. You just set the hook and you're reeling them in now. At the parish, same thing. Man, let them tour the parish. Tell them about the ministries. Tell them about the life-changing ministries that are going on in that parish and how you really want them involved. You know, you want them involved as the pastor. So, and then the big question, do you have enough capacity to hit your number? If the capacity is 3.2 and you're trying to raise 4, the answer is simple. No. So really look at that number. It's a real number. Recruit a good study cabinet. They'll help you with that case development. They'll review the goals. They'll review the plan of gifts. They'll have questions for all the materials. They can drive attendance to these town halls. They can get their friends to do the online survey. You want to capture as much information as you can capture. You know, a company like myself, we're going to interview 30 or 40 top families. We're going to offer the town hall. Well, you want to try to get 100 families or 150 families in that town hall. You want at least 30-40% of your parish doing this online survey. It's about information. You want, and it's another way to communicate. We were talking about communicating. Really, the surveys, it's just more communication. It's getting more people on the train. It's getting more buy-in. It's getting people excited about where you're going. Staff should not be involved in the study other than maybe helping us set a few appointments. We use, I just drew a blank. We use an online tool to help us, and I just drew a blank. But the staff shouldn't be involved. Father should never be involved other than the town hall meeting talking about the vision. But nobody's going to tell Father anything. They will tell me things they would never say to Father. All right? They're just not going to. So, no one in the parish should be involved in these interviews. Because that way people, they let their guard down and they're honest. Make sure the questions answer the following, you know, time at the parish with the school, the connection, their ability to support the case, their ability to give, their desire to give. Are they going to volunteer for the campaign? Any other advice they have for Father? Sometimes it might be, Father doesn't stand in the narthex after Mass. He just goes to the vesting room and changes. Well, they want to see him. Or Father's never come to my house to pray for me. Or, you know, the choir doesn't sing my favorite song. You know, it could be anything. But, you know, at least we're listening. We're sharing. So, town halls are designed to build larger support, answer questions, inform families. It's important to get as many people understanding the process as you can. Dave and y'all, do y'all do online surveys, town halls, when you're doing studies?
Some do, yeah.
Some do. Okay. A good report. So if you've hired this firm, and now they bring you this report. This is the stuff that it should have. Answers from the interviews, not generic thoughts. They don't have to attribute it. Amy Ponson said this. It's just that I love Father. He's the best thing that's ever happened to our parish. Oh, our liturgies are so wonderful. It's such a warm environment. Everybody's so friendly. Everybody, nobody speaks to me. I just sit alone at Mass. Nobody ever comes up and never said hello one time. You know, it could be anything, but put the answers up there. Because it's also a tool for Father, tool for the councils, to understand where their families are. True percentages. Percentages are easy to come up with, so you know. 87% of the parish supports this idea. 5% does not. The rest are just undecided. Be looking for real numbers. How much can be raised on the direct support question? Well, we're only talking to 30, 35 individuals. We got the town hall and we got the online surveys. What's that number? We did a test at OLPH in Chattanooga. They wanted to raise $1.2 million. Those numbers, direct answer to questions about what they would support for the campaign was $942,000. What do you think our recommendation was whether to do or not do the campaign? I've never seen a parish say that much money. I'm like, oh, this is a slam dunk. Father, you got no worries. So, what if it came back at $25,000 and everybody answered the question? Father, we're aiming too high. Or, Father, they don't like your case. Father, this is not the right time. There's not a wrong answer. It's not a wrong answer for your partner to say, Father, it's not the right time to do this campaign. Trust them. You know, right. I don't know about my other compadres. We're not going to send you down that path. I'm going to be honest with you, and I just hope you could accept our honesty. It is not the time to do this campaign. So, just got a couple more minutes. Don't accept vague answers. Man, really look for real answers. Look for detail. Don't accept the common thing. Oh, you could raise 2 to 3 times your offertory. Don't worry. Look for a real number. Look for what it really is. there's enough information in the world today that, man, I can get you within $100,000, $200,000. I can get you really close to what you need. Don't accept, you could do two times offertory. Don't accept that. Expect more from whoever you partner with. A good firm will give you very direct information based on research and interviews, town halls, and online surveys. Expect it. Don't accept mediocrity and hold that partner accountable. If it's us, hold us accountable. If it's CCS, guidance and giving, start, hold them accountable. That's important. When we're getting paid a lot of money to do this, they should hold you guys accountable, the diocesan staff accountable if you're doing it. So questions about the study process. Anyone? Bueller? Yes, sir.
And this may be coming later, more in the weeds, but those conversations look like when the report, the feasibility, is not in the favor of what Father or Council is pushing for. Like, so you come back and say, hey, feasibility says we could only pull off 1 million. Council and Father's like, we need 3. We want to go 3. We're going 3. They're not taking your advice as that professional firm.
So I can only speak to Greater Mission for this. I don't know about the other firms, but we have a 98% success rate. The 2% that don't make it do their own thing. And that's what we tell them. Father, you can do $1 million. Well, I'll say this. Matter of fact, Father Miguel, I came back and said 4 million at Mary Queen in Kentucky. It was the debt campaign I talked about earlier. Father wanted 5. I'm like, Father, it's 4. If you want to say that's your super stretch goal, but Father, you're going to raise 4. Guess where Father's at? $3,974,000. All right. And he's going to get the 4. He'll get, but he ain't getting the 5. Just be honest with him. So your partner should really be honest with Father. Young professionals, so the old guy like me, this is another saying, at least in our firm, don't be colorblind. So many young professionals can't tell Father, you know, that they've been raised in the church and to trust Father and really, you know, I can't tell Father no. Yes, you can. Father's paying you to tell Father no. And that, you know, that cabinet is paying you to tell Father in that cabinet, no, this is what your family, I'm telling you what your families have said. Your families will support this. I had to tell a pastor in Michigan who wanted to put a slide from the balcony down to the first floor into a playground. What a great idea is Michigan. He wanted an indoor playground because of winter in Michigan. Made sense. Families are like, we ain't doing that. And I had to tell them, can't do it, Father. But it's so great idea. They ain't paying for that, Father. He was crushed, but you know what he did? Okay, next time maybe. Let's move on with what they said they would support. Okay? So you just have to be honest with them. Yes, sir. So what's the ideal pastor done to be successful? So in those major gifts, those first conversations, the major gift, leadership, silent phase conversations, the ideal pastors have turned those into a pastoral visit. How's your family? How's Billy? How's college going for him? How's your mother been? Before they ever get to, man, I really want you to pray about this. This is what we're doing at the parish, and man, it's going to be so special. They turn it into a pastoral visit. They put that family first because, you know, how many families really get that pastoral visit where it's really personal and Father really knows my family and he cares about my family. You just took the walls down, Father. And that's what one of the things I've seen. You make it personal. And the pastors that do that are incredible. Communicate. Own it, Father. Stand up. This is going to mean so much to our parish and our ministry to our friends, families, and community when we're able to do this together. Be visible, be approachable, and don't be scared to ask. The worst thing anyone's going to tell you when you ask for that investment, Dave, is what? No. It's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. But if you show you care, Father, I can't do that, but I could do this. Or if somebody says, no, Father, this is not the right time, would you just pray for the campaign then? Man, if you'll just participate in prayer with us, man, that would be so wonderful. Make it personal. And that's the best advice I think I can give you, is just make it personal. Other questions? All right. Yes, sir.
So we come from Oklahoma City, and, you know, we have a lot of very small rural parishes, but they're very proud, you know, and some of them in particular are actually growing due to, you know, communities moving in from other states and so forth. Where do you think you draw the line on a size of families for a parish where it makes sense to do, you know, this type of feasibility study where you do the wealth, you know, screening and so forth, rather than, you know, just like a kind of a direct personal approach?
So I think personally, even in the smaller parishes, there'd be a study. I wouldn't pay $15,000 for it. But good firms are going to work with whatever size parish. But you know, the Eastern Kentucky parishes that I work with, you know, 20 families. I mean, we're going to have one town hall meeting. Father's going to stand up. We're going to talk about it. I'm going to have a survey right there. Those 20 families could fill it out. And it's just part of the campaign. But I'm still going to capture that information. I'm still going to do the research on those 20 families. We're going to follow the process. I'm not going to go interview all. I'm going to sit down in a big group as community, and we're going to do this together. So that's how I would do it. Yeah. All right. Anything else before we close? I know we're at time. Hey, thanks so much. Here's my commercial. You had to sit through it to get it. Hey, we're at booth 300. If you need something, we're there. We're here to help you if you need it. If not, God bless. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Johnny. And just remember, this is session 49. And we do ask that you all fill out the survey. It's on the Hoover app under surveys. If you go to the home screen, scroll down and you'll see surveys. Session 49. Johnny Day, thank you so much. Thank you so much for a great presentation and for being a sponsor. We appreciate it.
And on the Hoover app, there is a rendition of Rocky Top.
I'm not singing it. So.
Hey, you have tickets for Saturday? Because I'm glad to come over. It'll be worth the trip for you guys.
I don't know. Don't worry about it.